You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To the House of All Marine Radio. Yeah, on hump day. So you got that going for you today in the midst of a lot of unpleasantness. Yeah, we're here. So, your friendly companion. So, hope you're having a good day. You see, I think, honestly, the best thing to do is shut your TV off. Yeah, and that doesn't come with great deliberation, but I'm not sure how long it's going to take for us to get into the roll-up-your-sleeves mode and get out of the the response to this hasn't been perfect. Well, I'll just give you my life experience, and that is most of the time when you haven't done something, be it a flood, be it a tornado, something like that, the response to it is not perfect. And by all accounts, our public health system not geared for any of this. Right? So been written about widely, but and again, you see every day those people that lead us from Washington, D.C. go on TV and say, this is not about politics, and then that's exactly where they go. They can't stop. We know that. So I'm saying that shut the TV off. I'd best mute the thing. All right? And when news comes on, you can unmute it. But if you want to listen to the rest of it, all you're going to do is make your day miserable, and I would counsel personally against that. So, anyway, but I've thought a bit about, you know, so this whole everybody gets $1,000. Well, here's the first question: who needs the $1,000? Right? Who needs it? Now think about this. The government tells me that I can't go to work, right? Which means I can't make money, which means I can't pay my bills. So is the government going to rescue me from all of the debt that I accumulate? And I've seen stories written in the last couple of days about, you know, evictions. Landlords will not be allowed to evict people. Okay, so I call my landlord and say, hey, I don't have the money to pay you. And you can't evict me. So I can't be evicted. Okay, so let's just say in 3 months, I go back to work. Who's going to pay for that massive debt that I owe, right? Where's that money coming from? Right? Good question. Where's that money come from? So there's certain people that need, right, that need money. And there's a lot of people that don't. So should we means test? You know, assistance, hello, should we means test Social Security? Hello, should we means test Medicare? Hello, it's the way we do it. Do we means test welfare? Hello. So, yeah, I hate to rain on anybody's parade, but if you don't need the $1,000, if you're simply working from home and getting paid, then you're okay. Yeah, I hate to tell you this, but you're okay. So let me tell you how much their life's going to change. I used to go to my place of business. I don't. Now I telecommute. I work from home. I've got a printer. I've got my laptop. I log on to the network. People forward me documents. You know, I do my thing, right? And, my life hasn't changed that much. I can't go to my gym. Okay, so what does that mean? That means you have to develop a physical fitness routine that you can do from your home. You might have to go to a store and buy maybe some hand weights and things like that you can use. But push-ups, sit-ups, yeah. You can go online and find a decent, you know, workout regimen. You can go for a walk. That has not been prohibited. All right? So you can do all that. So your life will go on. What about somebody who's self-employed, who has four kids, and let's just say I'm a landscaper. I can't go out and work and make money for my family. Right? All those lawns still need to be mowed. All those bushes still need to be trimmed. All those lawns still need to be edged, and my clients want me to do it. And you're going to tell me I can't do it? I mean, then arrest me, because I got to support my family. And so, you know, there's certain people who need that support, and there's certain people that aren't going to be impacted other than being inconvenient. So again, as we kind of go through this and as we begin to think through this stuff, I think hopefully more mature people, you know, will stand up and say, okay, let's think this through. And if you don't need that kind of assistance, then you shouldn't get that kind of assistance, because all we do is we run the nation's debt up. Yeah. You know, well, everybody else gets $1,000. Why the hell aren't I getting mine? Exactly. That's exactly the reason why you're not getting yours. That attitude. You know. So, the other thing, pretty interesting question that you see discussed. You know, is a nation? You know, it's so you see all these things getting sorted around, right? The Greatest Generation fought two world wars for 4 years. The entire nation sacrificed. After 9/11, we've had people fight our wars for the last 18 years. The coronavirus pandemic, I'm asked to wash my hands and stay home. And that's too much. I mean, it's a joke, right? But it's not. So the question is, can a culture that's so self-absorbed, that is so resistant to the collective, that is so resistant to self-discipline, can that culture do this? Can it cope? Interesting question, right? Because the whole nation is allergic to the D word, right? The discipline word. The whole nation is. And so is somebody who doesn't have, you know, respect for the collective and, you know, I do what I want to do and has been raised like that from the time they were little. How does that person respond to this? That I'm going to do what's good for everybody? Now, again, I will tell you, it comes down, I think, once again, to the great divide in this country. And I believe that divide is between big city folks and people who live in smaller communities around the country. People who live in smaller communities have to be responsible to each other. They need each other. Especially where in parts of the country where the weather is, it gets severe. They in particular need each other. They got to pull each other out of the ditch when cars go off the road. They shovel each other's driveways when people can't. They bring each other's crops in when somebody gets sick. Right? All of that. And it's a way of life. So to me, in those parts of the countries, I think that the people will take to it much easier. In large cities, I don't think they'll have any of it. You know? So if I'm a 20 something and this doesn't impact me, you know, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? This is somebody else's problem. So you've heard that. So I will tell you that I believe in the goodness of the American people, but I also know, I say that with this caveat. We have people that, unlike World War II, when, you know, the majority of people came from two parent families, the majority of people spent Sunday in church, there was structure, people, you know, got raised to live disciplined lives. And we're not like that anymore. We are raised that now, not so much in the collective, not so much to be disciplined. We are raised that, you know, you're your own wonderful snowflake and you should be what you want to be. So anyway, this will be very interesting as it unfolds. Now, but the biggest thing that I've thought about in the last 24 hours is the people that will be financially impacted. For instance, if you're, you know, if you're a waiter, and you're out of a job, what do? And how is the government going to come to your rescue? And then what happens to you? Do you move out of your apartment, pack your trash, and go back and live with your parents who live on a pension so that's not going to stop? What do? And right now, nobody has an answer for those people. Do you go get one of the 100,000 jobs that Amazon is going to be offering? Do you do that? What happens to you through all this? And nobody can tell you, because nobody can tell you how long that anybody thinks it's going to last. So what happens to those people? What happens to those people? Here in Orange County, there was an order issued yesterday that, right, nobody could go to work. I'll get you the... I'll get you the headline. Here it is. Orange County bans gatherings, closes bars, and limits restaurants to curb coronavirus spread. Subheadline. As Orange County shuts courts to the public amid coronavirus fears, efforts underway to keep key parts of the justice system functioning. Next headline. Coronavirus means no marriage license for Orange County lovebirds for now. Next headline. Disneyland coronavirus closure could cost Southern California economy $400 million. Next headline. Drive-through coronavirus swabs start at two Orange County medical centers. So that's good news. Retired clerk admits to embezzling more than $709,000 while working at an Anaheim school. What? Exactly. So again, there's going to be people whose lives economically are really shaken to the core. I mean, they don't have an answer. They don't have the savings to deal with it. They're out of a job. And so to me, you know, that's what the country needs to do. It's unemployment benefits that are much more robust than they are today, that maybe you could actually survive on for the people that need it. Okay. For the people that need it. And so, you know, every American $1,000, what is that to stimulate the economy? Well, I still do the same things. I mean, I maybe not buy as much gasoline, but I still work. I still work out. I still, you know, when I need to, I go to the store. So I to me, there's a very vulnerable part of our population. And they tend to be service workers. They tend to not have large savings account. And to me, those are the people we ought to be most concerned about. So anyway, just a thought. And then the other thing is, like, you know, why can't I work? I have a job where I don't come in contact with people. And so to me, there's certain parts of the economy that we have to say, okay, you know, these people can generally work. Because to say everybody got to stay home, that's stupid. And I mean, that and it won't happen. Okay, so, right, you can, if you own a restaurant, you can go to work, but all your food has to be takeout. Okay, got it. All right, stores, food stores, you can be open. Okay, hardware stores, can they be open? Can Home Depot be open? Because I don't see Home Depot shutting down. More than 50 people in Home Depot, I think. Yeah, Home Depot can be open, right? And so who's the grand arbiter of all of this? Who's the grand arbiter of all this? So to me, there's it's interesting stuff as you see the nation deal with something that it's never dealt with on a scale of it that it's never dealt with. And so we shall see. My own opinion is this. Once those testing kits get out, you know, in large numbers, and so if you're feeling it, if you're feeling something, you can go be tested. That takes a lot of the mystery out of all of this, and I think that'll be a good thing. I'll tell you two other things. I mean, we constantly talk about Iran and China here on the program. Two more attacks in Iraq. Yeah, in the last 24 hours. So we'll talk about that a little bit, right? And Iran's generally going to be... I'm going to play something today that I didn't get a chance to play last week. Or it's actually for the last couple weeks. And then we're going to talk about... Iran just released 85,000 people out of their jails. Yep. And I like, do they believe everybody's going to show back up? I mean, if you were in an Iranian jail, would you go back to that thing? Yeah, I'm thinking I'd head for the border, man. I'd be looking for Taco Bell. I'd head to the border or whoever the hell that is. I don't know that I'd go back to that jail. And so, within the last week, they started doing that. And so is it possible that the coronavirus is going to be the tipping point that causes regime change in Iran. And again, if I was solving the complex parenthetical equation about the U.S. response to these rocket attacks, I would tell you that it's somebody's assessment in the State Department, the CIA, or the NSA that Iran is on the verge of a regime change. And we need to not supply them the boogeyman. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And so the reporting, you know, that I love to play is from Al Jazeera, right? So I like that. So so we'll do that today. And then the second thing is about Iran is, you know, their low voter turnout. And so we'll talk about that today. And that's really the thing I want you to hear is a kind of a roundtable discussion about that. The other thing is the Chinese expelling reporters from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and who else? I don't know, Reuters or somebody. Anyway, so in the midst of the coronavirus that came from China, somebody from China's State Department, what's today, Wednesday? I think over the weekend actually put out on Twitter that the United States Army brought this, brought the coronavirus to Wuhan. Yeah, they did. They did. Said U.S. soldiers brought this virus to China. And that the United States needed to tell the truth about it. And so, once again, right, quintessentially Chinese behavior in terms of we're going to play the emperor's new clothes. And if you're not buying the lies we're telling you, we're going to punish you. We're going to punish you. First of all, you're going to risk, although it doesn't apply to the United States, you're going to risk your economic relationship with us, which we know will cause you great ass pain. And so it goes with the Chinese. It is the same tired, right? It is the same tired dance that they always do with everybody, which is the whole economic extortion thing. Now, what'll be interesting, and you've heard a lot of discussion about it from different American politicians, is how reliant the United States has come to be on Chinese pharmaceuticals, and that the United States has to do something to incentivize the production of critical healthcare components domestically. Whether it's government subsidy, whether it's tax breaks, whether, you know, whatever it is, that the United States has got to get producers to come back to this country and produce for national security reasons. And you're seeing them now. So it'll be interesting to see on the backside of this if that is part of any kind of legislation here in the country, because, and people have been warning about this for years, right? And, you know, if you've paid attention at all to reading, and whether it be a global pandemic or a war or something, that in the case that push comes to shove and China has to choose, there ain't going to be enough for the rest of us. And that the United States, whether it's the production of steel, whether it's the production of pharmaceuticals, that the United States has become too reliant, and that the United States needed to designate certain critical infrastructure and then incentivize that here in the United States, production of that in the United States. So, yeah. All right. The United States Marine Corps ban makes this morning official. We'll take a look at the news, and then we'll go to Iran. And, yeah, Iran. Are they on the verge of regime change? One can hope, right? So, good morning to you. Hope you're having a good day. Remember, goal set. You know, where do you want to be at the end of all of this? and start doing those things. You want to lose weight? You want to get in better shape? You want to make progress on a reading list? You want to do what I'm doing, which is write a book or two? Set up a schedule and get after it, right? Use the time productively. And when we emerge from this, you'll be able to say, wow, look what I did. So anyway, good morning to you on Wednesday, the day after St. Paddy's Day. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to everybody out there who doesn't know how they're going to get through this. Hopefully, the people that govern the nation, the people that govern your state, will enact relief measures so that you can go ahead and you can continue to pay your bills. That there will be some sort of unemployment insurance that is robust enough for you to keep your head above water. So we'll see where that goes. I think every sending everybody $1,000, I think is the wrong thing to do. There's going to be a lot of people who transfer their place of their work from a building to their home. The most inconvenience they will be is that they can't go to their gym, and they will find ways to adapt their life. They will find ways to get outside and stay active, and ultimately other things will evolve as well. So it's dedicated to the people that have a little bit more blackness in their life than some of the rest of us. I know that, you know, I'm not going to be that impacted other than, you know, some of my post-traumatic winning presentations being canceled. You know, I'm fortunate. So, yeah, it's dedicated to them. Hopefully, as people kind of get used to being in the crisis mode and they put their smart caps on and take their panic cap off, that they'll make good decisions relative to the nation and everybody else. So this is dedicated to you.
You are. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, to the weather we go. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 51. Camp Lejeune is partly sunny, 65. Yeah, just in case all you Camp Lejeune people didn't hear yesterday, when General Barrow says General Lejeune, and then you just shut it, okay? Yeah, we're done with that discussion. It is partly sunny and 45 and 29 Palms, so it's cooled off in Southern California. It is partly sunny and 48 at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 67. In Okinawa, dark cloudy and 70. Warmed up in Afghanistan. Early in the evening, clear, dark, and 70 in the Helmand Province. In Ramadi, it is cloudy, dark, and 67. At the home of All Marine Radio, there's a gale warning. Yeah. From 2 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on Wednesday, March 18th, until 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, March 18th. So, yeah, going to get windy today in Southern California. It is 50 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for high of 65 today. Rain and 52 for the low overnight. Rain and 60 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, rain and 51. But see, this is 40%, 50%, and 40%. And you know what that means? Probably not going to rain. Now, if I was in North Dakota and they said it was a 40% chance of rain, that means 80%. Yeah, you double it. All these numbers in North Dakota, you would double. Yeah. I don't know why that is. It's just the way it is. And on Friday, partly sunny and 65 degrees. So, anyway, that is a look at your weather. When we come back, we'll check news headlines around the Department of Defense. Rocket attacks times two in the last 24 hours. So, somebody's begging for it, right? Why is that? Why are they begging for it? Good question. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Let me read you an email. Mac, normally, as a rule, I'm against your ideas. Now, I'm not sure if that's just me being obstinate, but it's the way it is. However, I think your unemployment on steroids idea is actually a good idea. One, it falls in line with current unemployment practices today. It could be a special program with benefits that last for the duration of this for certain sectors of the economy. I believe there's other parts of the economy that shouldn't qualify because the impact on them will be minimal. And your example of a landscaper is a good one. Plumbers, electricians, all continue going out and working. Minimize the contact they have with tenants and then leave. Food for thought. Well done, my friend. I'll try not to be as obstinate in the future. Yeah, come on, man. No, you know what it is? Familiarity breeds contempt. No, but I mean, think about who's truly affected. For instance, everybody in my family working, you know, my ex-wife, she's working from home now. She works in the healthcare industry, the insurance portion of it. My daughter Catherine, she's not working from home. They got told that they could no longer go to work as of yesterday. My son John's a Marine. My other son Patrick, I don't know what he's doing. And then Colleen not going to school. And the governor of the state of California yesterday mused that, you know, I don't think schools are going to open up again this year. What? Like, why would you say that? And let me just tell you. I think now, you know, as having been part of crises in my life, the hardest thing for people to do is just shut up, right? So why would you say that, right? And so when you're acting in your official capacity and you're the governor of a state, I think you have a responsibility not to think out loud, okay? There's times when thinking out loud is all right. There's other times when all thinking out loud does is cause panic, because you don't know that to be true. I mean, I think I could paint for you a scenario that says once this testing gets out all over the country, and they said it's going to take a couple weeks for that to happen, that you can get tested anytime, which gets us a better handle on who needs to be quarantined and whatnot. Okay? And we continue to pile week after week. And at some point, those numbers will begin to go down. They've done that in South Korea. They've done that in China, we think. Then what? Now we start taking the clamps off. Yes or no? Well, the truth is, nobody knows, right? Because it will depend whether, if you listen to Dr. Fauci, right, whether that peak can be blunted. And, you know, if the United States can do that. And if the United States can do that, then people will have decisions to make. But again, I just as the leader of a state, like, you know, all you do is you raise the anxiety level when you do that kind of stuff. So I think that's the hardest thing. And again, to go back to one of my original comments I made this morning is, you know, a nation that so rejects, right, group. How do I say it? Group, not think, but group functions. That I'm an individual. I'm not part of a group. A culture that so pushes back on self-discipline, right? And all you have to do is look at our obesity rate. A culture like that is now going to face a critical challenge. And is going to sign up for all of that. Good luck. You know, the United States is a great nation, full of great people. But I'll tell you what, it's a different nation than it was in 1941. When last time it got challenged as a nation to sacrifice. So it'll be interesting to watch. All right, news headlines. Thousands of U.S. Marines will be isolated for the first 2 weeks of their six-month rotation in Australia. I think normally you're isolated anyway. You're drawing equipment, you're maintaining equipment, and so I don't know that this is a big deal. 2,500 Marines will stay in their barracks for 14 days to prevent the spread of coronavirus at the start of a six-month rotation to Australia's Northern Territory. Quote, as of now, we are continuing with the Marine Rotational Force Darwin as planned, said a spokesman, Marine spokesman, by email today. The main body of Marines is projected to arrive in early April, and additional personnel will arrive in early July. total force of 2,500 Marines. So anyway, that's been going on for a while, the Marine Rotational Force Darwin. And so for the first 2 weeks, you know, you get there, you know, you get your living conditions straightened up, you clean those up, you inspect those, you know, your weapons and things that get turned over to you, those get accounted for, you clean them, you're getting that stuff ready. So I don't know that that's that big of a deal. Second headline, coronavirus cases among U.S. troops double in 1 day. Pentagon prepares hospital ships, both of them, for a response. 36 American service members worldwide had tested positive for the coronavirus as of Tuesday, a Pentagon spokesman said. The question is, how many are overseas and how many are in continental United States? In total, 59 members of the Defense Department community had confirmed cases of the fast-spreading coronavirus. 8 DOD civilians, 12 military dependents, 3 defense contractors, and 36 service members have the virus. Oh, well, you didn't say it that way. So 36 service members out of what? Out of how many million? And unlike the rest of the world, there's a fair amount of the United States military that's located around the world. So, I mean, and this from the Secretary of Defense, we have a very young and healthy and fit military population, Esper said at the Pentagon. I think they will fare well throughout this. They'll be fine. So that in the news. Now, I'll talk about our hospital ships here in a minute. The U.S. reduces its footprint in Iraq with the transfer of base used to fight ISIS. U.S. and French forces, along with coalition airstrikes, ejected ISIS from western Iraq and eastern Syria right along the border. They also helped oust ISIS from a Syrian town of Baghouz, the last stronghold of the caliphate, a year ago in March. U.S. officials had been discussing a withdrawal from some Iraqi bases since before last Christmas, the handover of the Al-Qaim base. The Al-Qaim base used to be a train station, which is how it got originally used by us. And about 900,000 of equipment came after a series of bloody attacks highlighted continued threat from Iranian proxies targeting coalition forces. So since we're not using that, then we're going to hand that over. Quote, Al-Qaim served as a critical location in the fight against Daesh, which is ISIS. Brigadier General Vincent Barker, director of sustainment for the coalition, using an Arab acronym for ISIS, first as the Iraqi security forces liberated the Al-Qaim region from an evil presence and later as a valuable base during the Battle of Baghouz, the last physical territory held by ISIS. Today's transfer is possible thanks to the efforts and successes of our Iraqi security force partners. So anyway, but again, that's nowhere near these current attacks, okay? These current attacks are taking place of, they were taking place north of Baghdad. Now they've been taking, they took place south of Baghdad and then also inside of Baghdad. So we'll get to that here in a minute. The next story. Interesting story. No plans to shutter DOD schools in Japan, according to the Pacific East superintendent. Yeah, how about that? From Yokosuka Naval Base in Japan, students at Defense Department schools in Japan continue to attend classes in person despite widespread closures to combat the spread of coronavirus. The Department of Defense Education Activity on Wednesday shut down its U.S. schools, including those on Guam. DOD schools in South Korea have been closed since February 26. Japanese public schools have had their doors closed for weeks since Prime Minister, I can say it, Shinzo Abe on February 28 asked them to close to curb coronavirus spread. However, The DOD has plans in place in case it decides to close schools at U.S. bases in Japan. It is not planning to imminently do so, according to Superintendent Judy Allen during a virtual town meeting Tuesday on Facebook Live. Currently, we have no coronavirus cases in our schools. If we do change and do something different, then certainly we'd look at virtual schooling, and we already have plans in place in case we do have to close our doors. Allen explained that U.S. Forces Japan and DODEA education activity officials reviewed recommendations on a daily basis based on Centers, CDC, and prevention guidelines used by U.S. Forces Japan as part of a decision matrix to determine if schools should stay open or closed. She went on to say the primary tool being used are CDC guidelines. Everyone can access those and see why schools may be open or closed depending on the area. So, pretty interesting. DOD schools have no cases in Japan, and they're staying open. So, this is from USNI News by Sam Legrone. Pentagon preparing Navy hospital ships Mercy and Comfort for coronavirus response. The Pentagon is starting the process of activating Navy hospital ships USNS Mercy and USNS Comfort as part of the Defense Department's domestic response to the spreading COVID-19 virus. We've already given orders to the Navy to lean forward in terms of getting them ready to deploy. The ships will now begin the several-day-long process of bringing aboard medical staff and equipment ahead of deploying along the east and west coast, a defense official confirmed to USNI News on Tuesday afternoon. Two sources told USNI News that the idea was for the ships to provide relief for coastal hospital systems, with the ships taking on non-COVID-19 cases and allowing the hospitals to focus on the most critical patients suffering from the virus. The Pentagon has also extensive equipment for erecting field hospitals in addition to other ships, but those facilities are optimized for trauma cases with several beds close together and not for infectious patients. So, and again, the Secretary of Defense went to great lengths saying that, look, here's the problem with all of this. Right. Normally, when we mobilize these assets, these doctors come from your community, and you probably don't want that. So there's an impact that's going to be felt around the nation should we do this. So if you mobilize your medical surgical hospital for coronavirus, you're taking doctors and nurses out of different hospitals in your state, right, to surge in one area, and that'll be largely the decision that governors make around the nation. So anyway, but I think that what and again, the problem is there's only two of them. And the ships have finite capacity, right? Each ship has 1,000-bed capacity and is manned by military medical personnel, requiring about a week or more to mobilize those personnel from across the active duty and reserve forces. So to me, what makes sense is that you would mobilize those ships from active duty forces only, and you wouldn't ping the reserve. Because when you ping the reserves, you ping communities around the world, around the country. And we probably don't want to do that. And then those ships would be parked off the east and west coast. We're going to helicopter people out there that are sick. That'll be interesting, huh? Civilians first helicopter, right? Anyway, and there are things that can be handled, not coronavirus related, but there are other things that can be handled by these 1,000-bed facilities. So where would you likely see them? Off the coast of New York City, largest urban area on the East Coast, and off the coast of Los Angeles, largest urban area on the West Coast, and providing some marginal relief. So anyway, DOD. And then, but again, that's not, it doesn't make sense to rob communities of medical professionals right? And so next question, so what is the impact to the active component if we take doctors from all over the active component to get them on the mercy and the comfort and then go from there? Now, I would imagine, though, there's people screaming, get this shit done yesterday. So, interesting. Asking people to think clearly in a crisis? What? We've been following this trial. Trial dates moved for a SEAL and a Marine Raider charged in the death of Staff Sergeant Logan Melger. As part of Special Forces, people behaving poorly. The court-martial for Special Warfare Operator Tony DeDolph was scheduled for March 23rd to April 3rd, but has been moved to mid-July, according to the Navy Mid-Atlantic Region in a press release on Wednesday. Gunnery Sergeant Mario Madera Rodriguez's trial was scheduled for April 20th to May 1st. That's been moved to early September. So, again, we've been following that. Another story we followed is Duncan Hunter, right? He got sentenced to 11 months in prison. Picture of Duncan Hunter in a suit walking up, I guess, to be sentenced. Pretty amazing story. And this is Duncan Hunter talking about being poor, if you remember.
There's nothing illegal about being poor. Okay? I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
There's not. But there is something illegal about dipping into your campaign finances to go to Italy on a vacation, to spend it on your kids' braces and things like that. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know if he knew that. And then there's also something unseemly about blaming it on your wife. So, yeah, Duncan Hunter. I mean, in a horrible story, right? In a horrible story, going to jail, from being a congressman to going to jail. I mean, that's awful. Former California Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter was sentenced Tuesday to 11 months in prison after pleading guilty to stealing campaign funds and spending the money on everything from outings with friends to his daughter's birthday party. The Marine Corps veteran's attorney had asked for most or part of his sentence to be spent in home confinement, citing his military service, fighting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and his nearly six terms in Congress. Hunter, 43, all that by the age of 43, resigned from Congress in January after representing one of California's last solidly Republican districts. But U.S. District Court Judge Thomas Whelan said given the amount of money Hunter misspent, and the number of years he carried out the pilfering, home confinement was not an option. Prosecutors ahead of Tuesday's sentencing submitted 87 pages to the judge that showed a corrupt congressman who intentionally and repeatedly stole from his campaign funds for a decade. Today's sentence reinforces the notion that the truth still matters and that facts still matter, according to an assistant district attorney. Quote, this is from his attorney, Hunter's attorney. Congressman Hunter is ready to put this behind him and continue helping veterans in every way possible, Bernstein told the Associated Press. Hunter and his wife, Margaret, who was his campaign manager, were accused in a 60-count indictment of stealing more than $250,000 in campaign funds and trying to hide it on financial disclosure records, listing some personal expenses as contribution to Wounded Warriors. The money bankrolled private school tuition for his kids, his wife's shopping sprees, weekend trips with his mistress, and parties in Washington, according to the indictment. Hunter's wife, who was not present at his sentencing, is scheduled to be sentenced on April 7th. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Will coronavirus lead to martial law? What? Yeah, headlining Marine Corps Times. Military nurse advice line flooded with coronavirus calls. The two-hour wait frustrates military families. Martial law. What the hell would that look like, man? I don't even know. Like, that's like interesting even to think about. Martial law. What is martial law? In simple terms, martial law is a replacement of civil rule with temporary military authority in a time of a crisis. Okay, we're not there yet. I mean, it's even humorous to think about it. Iraqi officials say rocket strike Baghdad's green zone. At least three rockets struck Baghdad's fortified green zone near the American embassy late Tuesday, a day after an attack on a training base south of Baghdad. So those are attacks three and four. So Taji wants American response. We like hit ammunition supply points. They hit Taji again. They hit a training base on the south end of Baghdad. And then they shot at the American embassy. So somebody's begging for it, right? Somebody's literally screaming. Screaming. So here's the story. At least three rockets struck the green zone, the seat of Iraq's government, and home to several foreign embassies, two Iraqi security officials said. Spokesman for the coalition said the rockets fell at least 2 kilometers from the embassy. The previous evening, rockets hit the Basma base near the Iraqi capital. An Iraqi army statement said the projectiles landed in an area including agricultural land and a factory, according to a statement. No more details were provided. So that's attack three and four. All right. So as I said, somebody's begging for it. Somebody's begging for it. Top five stories in early bird. And then we're going to turn our attention to Iran today. And also we'll check out this and the story about the Chinese expelling American media people, because we won't play The Emperor's New Clothes. Congressional chairman, plural, hope COVID-19 won't derail the defense policy bill. Though Congress is taking steps to protect lawmakers from the new coronavirus and promote social distancing, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee plans to hold its markup of the annual defense bill, usually a hearing with more than 100 people in attendance, on schedule next month. So who is that? That's Adam Smith. But it is also exploring alternatives as it considers the fiscal 2021 National Defense Authorization Act. Barring material change, the committee plans to proceed with the previously identified markup date and deliver the NDAA for a vote to the House floor by mid-May. While we are exploring other options to coordinate member involvement in the markup process, no decisions have been made. And that is according to Monica Matouche, a spokesman for the House Armed Services Committee Democratic majority. All right. So anyway, so that's the top story, believe it or not. Number two in early bird, the military is sending breathing masks, ventilators to civilian hospitals. The Secretary of Defense talked about sending how many million masks and hundreds of thousands of ventilators, I think. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper said yesterday that the military would open up its stockpile of medical supplies to back up civilian public health agencies bracing for an outbreak of the coronavirus. Up to 5 million breathing masks and 2,000 ventilators are on tap, as requested by Health and Human Services, according to the Secretary of Defense, for distribution to civilian medical providers. However, he cautioned against the inclination to call on the military to step in and take over the country's response to the pandemic. I think in some ways we want to be the last resort. Now, again, the National Guards, certainly. That's up to the governor. Third story, two more sailors on board warships have the coronavirus. Two sailors, one homeported in San Diego, the other homeported in Everett, Washington, tested positive for the coronavirus, bringing the number to 3 of known cases tied to Navy service vessels. Of the two newest cases, one sailor is assigned to the USS Coronado in San Diego. The other is assigned to the guided missile destroyer Ralph Johnson in Everett, Washington. The Coronado is tied up and undergoing routine maintenance. Ralph Johnson is also in port and not at sea. So, again, I mean, honestly, I think when you look at the Department of Defense, I mean, it's a good news story. The number of people that are forward deployed in foreign countries and so few cases. So, anyway. And I would think that you would expect as much as, you know, the military has control over its people for the most part and can lock them down. Number four, Trump's $46 billion coronavirus aid request includes $8 billion for the DOD. The White House submitted its request late Tuesday. So what's the $8 billion for the DOD? The request is separate from the Trump administration $1 trillion stimulus proposal, which it presented at the same time on Capitol Hill. For the Defense Department, the funds would be to mitigate the risk of COVID-19 to United States service members, their dependents, and DOD civilians, minimize the impacts of the virus on strategic mission readiness, and support national response effort. According to the request, the request includes resources to facilitate changes in service member personnel policy, expedite access to rapid COVID-19 diagnostics, ensure access to medical care, including additional medical countermeasures, address the impacts of the pandemic on logistics supply chains, including pharmaceuticals and personal protective equipment, and bolster the overall national response. I think what that means is we don't really know what we're going to spend it on, but these are some of the things that we'll include, and we'll throw sufficient funds. We'll throw sufficient funds at it. Number five, exclusive legendary special operations aviator reveals Bin Laden mission details for the first time. So a Chinook chief warrant officer is telling his side of that story. I want to talk about real quick before we talk about Iran. I want to talk about China banishes U.S. journalists from the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. It's from the Wall Street Journal. Tagline, I can't remember. Something about the truth, right? Dies in the shadows. Headline, China expels 3 Wall Street Journal reporters as media relations sour. Subheadline, Beijing said it had revoked their credentials over a headline the newspaper published in its opinion pages. China said on Wednesday it would expel 3 Wall Street Journal reporters working in mainland China, a significant escalation of Beijing's pressure on foreign news media. At a daily news briefing, a spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the reporters' credentials would be revoked in retaliation for a headline on an essay that ran in the journal's editorial pages this month. The headline read, China is the real sick man of Asia. Chinese officials have demanded the Wall Street Journal recognize the seriousness of the error, openly and formally apologize, and investigate and punish those responsible while retaining the need to take further measures against the newspaper. Zhang Shuang, the ministry spokesman, said in a transcript provided by the Chinese government, "The Chinese people do not welcome media that publish racist statements and smear China with malicious attacks." The expulsions are the first involving foreign correspondents since 1998, according to the Foreign Correspondents Club of China, which called the simultaneous revocation of three press credentials an unprecedented form of retaliation. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo condemned China's decision, saying in a statement, "Mature, responsible countries understand that a free press reports facts and expresses opinion." Just months ago, Chinese officials failed to renew the visa of another Wall Street Journal reporter. Officials did not provide a reason for what amounted to his expulsion, but he had co-written an article about a cousin of China's top leader, Xi Jinping, and an investigation by an Australian authority into accusations that the cousin was involved in a scandal involving money laundering, immigration favors, and organized crime. Ruh-roh. But it's the game, right? The opinion piece was written by Walter Russell Mead, a professor at Bard College and a scholar at the Hudson Institute. It criticized China's initial response to the coronavirus outbreak, as well as the state of the country's financial markets. Mr. Mead declined to comment for this article. The expression "sick man in Asia" was a derogatory characterization of China's weaknesses in the late 1800s and early 1900s when it was torn by internal division and exploited by foreign powers. Top editors held two meetings with newsroom staff to discuss the headline and the potential impact of the journal's China operations. According to three people with knowledge of the events, that preceded the ouster of the journalist. The headline was widely considered offensive within the newsroom, these people said, and was even coming up when members of the staff went out in the field to interview sources. In one meeting last week, one of the people said reporters expressed their anger over the headline to Mr. Murray, the editor. He agreed that the headline was bad, this person said, and agreed to talk to Paul Guizhou, he's a longtime Wall Street Journal dude, who runs the journal's editorial page. However, Mr. Murray cautioned that his hands were tied because of the traditional separation between news and editorial sides of the journal. Mr. Lewis, the Dow Jones chief executive, participated in a more recent meeting. Newsroom employees again pushed to get top editors to change the headline. Pretty interesting. The newsroom people, right, are lobbying the editorial side. China typically uses language about the hurt feelings of its citizens when it's chastising and punishing foreign companies for not bending to Beijing's will. Over the past years, companies like Coach, Versace, the National Basketball Association have all come under similar fire. Yeah, when you don't dance to our tune, right, you're going to pay. So interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, going to turn the lens to Iran a little bit today. And Iran releasing 85,000 prisoners from their prison system. And then will the coronavirus be the shove that it needs for regime change? And why is the United States so restrained in its response relative to the attacks in Iraq Is that the assessment? So don't touch that dial. I think you'll find this interesting. Both reports come from Al Jazeera, which when we talk Iran is my favorite news source, to be honest with you, because when you listen to Al Jazeera, you get very, very different perspective than you do get from people here in the United States. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.